Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back into the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. I am Kevin, joined with me, as always, on the other line, Andrew. How are we doing, Andrew?
Doing pretty good, Kevin. It's been a little while since we've talked to you folks at home, which probably means that KU football hasn't been doing too well.
What?
Sometimes when we lose, we kind of curl up into this not wanting to talk about anything cocoon, but we're back. We're back, and I think we're going to have a regular schedule from here on out, mostly because...
Why?
We have Kansas basketball coming up.
What? That is a thing I hear. We had a little thing we like to call late night in the fog last weekend, Andrew. Really what I call just a Tech N9ne concert in Allen Fieldhouse. That's what I heard. It's just that's right. All it was, right? That was the reason everyone was there. Just a little,
yeah.
Everyone wanted to hear a little Absolute Power, a little Bout Top Bubble, a little Biancas and Beatrices. That's I assume what he's saying, right? I don't know.
I think we're going to talk more about Tech N9ne at the very end of this podcast. So if you're not a Tech N9ne fan, you can just cut it off after we interview Brian Haney.
Yeah.
Which is to preview. Brian Haney is going to come on the podcast later. He is the new voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. After that, we'll have a discussion about Tech N9ne. But just a preview, do you think the Friday night late night concert that he did is the biggest crowd that he's ever performed in front of, not at a music festival? Because I think he's done like the Gathering of the Juggalos and probably some other music festivals here and there. Is this the biggest like soul concert for Tech N9ne?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I know he goes around and has done a, like, he's been doing this for like 40 years. He's really old. I don't know if people, he was old in 2002 when I was listening to him. So I don't know. I bet not. I'm going to go with no, but you might be right. You might be close. But
what I'm saying is that KU basketball made Tech N9ne peak. Like he's at the top, right?
He's at the top.
16,300 fans there in Allen Fieldhouse.
I bet most of those people were not Tech N9ne fans.
What does that mean? Is there such thing?
I have a feel, you know, like late night is one of those things like you take the kiddos to and you bring like the soup can and you donate it. And like, it's people that I'm willing to bet that 40% of the people in the audience did not know who Tech N9ne was.
I did appreciate that he did full white skull face paint. You know, he didn't back off at all.
No. I mean, I would hope not. That's the thing.
Went full bore. Okay, right. Kevin.
We can talk about this forever.
We're going to talk about Tech N9ne at the end. So if you're a Tech N9ne fan, stick around.
Until then,
we're going to talk about some KU football, a lot of KU basketball, and then we're going to jump in and talk to Brian Haney. What do you want to talk about with KU football? Let's just get this out of the way early.
Well, okay. So we're still going to the games. We still attend the games. We tailgate. We do the whole thing. We will continue to do so because we are fans of the university, and there's not a whole lot to be real positive about. Okay, I guess a couple of things. Ryan Willis looked pretty okay against Texas Tech, and that actually earned him the starting job. You're coming up for the TCU game this weekend. So good on him. I think that's the right move. He seems to be able to get first downs, move the offense, not panic a little bit more, a little better than Cozart. I think this is the right move. I just hope that we stick with him. It's not this two series, one quarterback, one series, another. I'm not a fan of that. So that's one thing. I thought the defense actually sort of looked okay against Texas Tech for the middle of the game, which is something, right?
Well, Texas Tech still scored 55 points.
Yeah, they did. And that is to be expected almost every time. They've scored 55 on everybody. But I guess what I'm getting at is there was a period in the game in the middle, not the first 5 minutes and not the last 5 minutes, but the middle The defense actually looked okay. We had some injuries and whatnot, but I think that, I don't know, signs of life. And I think that's all we're asking for this year, right? I mean, we're not asking for five wins. We're looking for signs of life, something to build on. There are a few things there. I'd really like to see Ryan Willis take the next step over the next couple of games.
And I think he will. That's not saying we're going to win any games, but let's look forward. So we've got TCU coming up this Saturday. This is at home. This is our buddy Nick's wedding day. So we're going to do a game in the morning, and we're going to get a Nick's wedding after the game. Nick's part of our tailgate crew. Is he going to come to the game?
I doubt it. I don't think that's a thing. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I think on your wedding day, that's not a thing to go to a KU-TCU game.
If it's a basketball game, do you go?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, the problem is you don't put your wedding on a KU basketball day. Like, that's the real issue.
And I guess that shows you the state of KU football is that it's completely acceptable for a diehard, because Nick is a diehard KU football fan, to schedule his wedding. And no one really batted an eye about it. They're like, no. Whatever.
Whatever.
Okay, anyway. So we've got TCU. We've got at Baylor. So Iowa State gave Baylor a game.
Yeah. Which really said more about how we're not going to beat Iowa State than anything, I think.
Right.
But so, yeah, you never know. You never know.
Looking forward, then we've got both Oklahoma schools at West Virginia. Then we get to Saturday, November 11th, Iowa State. Is that the best shot we got?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But I don't even feel great about it now.
Okay. Well.
Can we score 40 points? I want to see us score 35 or more points one time this year, the rest of the year. Do you think that'll happen?
I want to say yes, but
that's a big ask.
Even I think it was Louisiana Tech scored 35 against Texas Tech.
I want to see, can we score 30 points one time this year? Yes or no? The rest of the year?
Yes. I'm going to go yes.
I'm going to say no, but I hope you're right. Cause we're going to need at least that much. Cause our defense, as lovely as they played, probably won't hold anybody to less than 30 points. So, anywho, all right. What else we got, Andrew, on the KU football front?
I'm ready to be done talking about it.
Are you? Here's the thing. I think people think that we don't, because we don't podcast during that, and because we have this kind of negative viewpoint that we don't like KU football.
we go to every game, we watch every second.
That's what's so frustrating, but and this is the other thing, I get people that tweet to me and try to correlate or act like I'm media, and I think it's very clear to that just KU football alone is enough to show that I and you and any all of this, we are not media, because we just clam up and don't want to talk about things when we lose. We just don't. We're fans. We're just not interested. No, I think I'll do something else. Like, it just makes me sad. It's just kind of what it is. But you know what? You know, we'll still be there. We'll still be going. Go KU football. We can do it. But anyway, I there have been a few pieces that came out from the actual media, giving Beatty a little bit of, I don't want to say, I guess not positive pieces about Beatty so far as head coach. Have you read those? I think Mellinger came out with a pretty long one, and some others. What do you think about that? Here's the real question. What's your grade for Dave Beatty at this point as head coach?
So last year and this year.
Yeah, right now, today.
So he's got one win.
Yeah.
I mean, I give him a C-.
Okay. I think that's
fair. That's passing. That's not like we're going to fire him tomorrow, but, you know, he's teetering on the edge of, you know, he's got to get those grades up. otherwise, there might be some summer school involved. Maybe hold him back a year, or maybe we send him to recruiting coordinator at Colorado State next year.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you need to see? I mean, obviously wins would be good, but what do you need to see to get him up into a better grade by the end of the season?
You know, I'd like to have a win against a Big 12 team. You know, we haven't won a Big 12 road game, and I think it's got to 40 games, which is incredible.
I know.
No, 40 games.
I know.
And it feels like it.
Yeah.
There needs to be some improvement. And we say that. We've been saying this for a long time, ever since we've been doing this podcast. But, you know, I'd like to see something and then maybe some improvement in the recruiting. And I know he's doing fairly well there.
He's doing okay. I think most people thought he would be doing better. And maybe that's a tough ask for this team. But I don't know. They've had some upgrades in facilities. They got that new fancy locker room that looks like a rave, a little party in there downstairs at the Cave. Is the Cave still a thing? Is that still around? The Cave?
You know, I don't know.
I don't know either. All right. The kids out here on the Twitters, tell us if the Cave is still a thing, because it's been a little while since we've been down there. Anyway, so there you go. We will move on from KU football. But Andrew, you did mention one thing. You said, ever since we've been doing this podcast, we've been saying this. It's probably noteworthy to let the folks know, episode 100 today.
100. Keeping it 100.
Are we keeping it 100? This is surprising. I didn't know that we'd make it to 100. It took us a while, candidly, to get to 100. But, you know, here we are. So happy to be here. Still going. How many episodes do you think we'll have by the end of the year, Andrew?
Like the
end of the basketball season.
Well, last year we were pretty regular. I mean, we were
pretty regular.
We did like 20 in a row, which is incredible.
Okay. So is our goal to have 120 by the end of the college basketball season?
I like that.
All right. This is our vow. We're going to try to do 20 episodes this year. We did just re-up our what it costs to run this podcast in order to do that. So we're paying for it, Andrew. We might as well do it. Unless someone wants to sponsor this, then we'll be all ears on that. But Andrew, let's move on.
We're gonna get a sponsor. We're gonna get a sponsor.
We are
this season. We are going to get one.
Well, that will force us to do this thing if we get a sponsor.
Right. There is a plumbing business. There is a flooring or tile business out there that somebody would like to get its name out to people in northeastern Kansas. We have a very loyal fan base.
We
and
do.
I think they would trust us. And I think that they would, if we gave them a sponsor that we vetted, that they would seek out your flooring or tile company, maybe your drinking establishment.
There you go.
Or maybe if you have a bouncy house rental company.
Whatever.
We can promote that too.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, if you want to sponsor us, we're pretty cheap.
We're really cheap.
I mean, we're really cheap.
It does not take much. We will take just about anything. Andrew, okay. What do you say we pause for a minute here? I think it's time. First of all, before we have Brian on, I think it's fair to say, and we haven't talked to him about this, but it's pretty fair to say that you and I are responsible for him getting this job, right?
Well, he's been a regular guest for several years.
Right.
Even when he was at Texas Tech. So right. He left to go to Texas Tech, and he still came on and talked about Big 12 football, Big 12 basketball,
right,
about KU stuff specifically. Maybe him brushing up on the KU stuff to come on this podcast kind of kept him in the know.
Okay. Maybe. I think it's the platform. I think it's our 100 episode platform. Wide audience, obviously. KU... you know, all the people that are decision makers at KU clearly listen to the podcast. So I'm just saying, I think it was us.
Well, if Rustin Dodd gets promoted to Sports Illustrated, then we know we have power.
That's exactly right. All right. Well, hang on. Let's pause for a second. Let's get Brian in. We'll talk a little KU basketball. Oops. All right, we are back, and we are joined by the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. That sounds so cool to say, Brian Haney, on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. How you doing today, Brian?
Kevin, Andrew, doing great. Guys, thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
So, Brian, have you settled into town? I mean, it's been a while since you've been here. Do you need a couple of restaurant recommendations? How's your first few months been?
They've been great, Andrew. It's been great to be back near my hometown of Topeka and in a town that I called home for 14 years before I left for Texas Tech. So just to be back in the Sunflower State's been awesome, and moved back July 31st and went to work the very next day. So it's been a whirlwind couple of months, doing a lot of cool appearances across the state, trying to interact with the fan base in all of our different markets, with all of our different affiliates, and also try to be as active and involved with some of the charitable organizations and community organizations, not just in Lawrence and Douglas County, but KC and Topeka. So anybody listening to this tonight or today or however you listen to this podcast, if there's a cause out there that you'd like to have some Jayhawk enthusiasm and voice behind, please do reach out to me via Twitter at bhaney, or you can email me at kubhaney@ku.edu. Really feel like with this position comes a great opportunity to do some cool stuff beyond simply the calling of big games and big shots and all that. So that's been a big part of these first 2 months. Hopefully folks have also seen a lot of the new online content that we're churning out on a daily basis, whether it be social media features like the Four Down series that we're doing with the football team, or the Know Your Foe and Throwback Thursday podcasts, which don't rival this one, by the way, that's well, now 100 episodes deep, but they're decent. but yeah, we're trying to do more and more stuff that maybe KU hasn't had in the past, and try to bring some new ways to tell stories, not only of our present day Jayhawks that make us so proud, but also tapping into the great tradition campus-wide across the board that makes this one of the finer athletic departments in the country.
Couldn't agree more there, Brian. Hey, you mentioned charity causes. One of those seemingly these days is the KU football program in some ways. I wanted to say, first off, we are huge KU football fans. We love KU football. We keep going to games. We're always there. I love, by the way, your calls. You're killing it as a KU football on the radio. I think those that aren't there and not watching on TV, you got to listen to Brian. He's a great storyteller. He really shows the gives you a good feel for what's going on in the game. Unfortunately, hasn't been too pretty so far. What's been your kind of characterization of the football team so far this year?
Well, thank you for saying that. It's been great to be back working with David Lawrence and Josh Klingler and Bob Newton and those guys. And obviously, the opener was a ton of fun. We had 8 touchdowns to call, a double nickel on the scoreboard, and obviously, sweet victory to taste. And the couple of the weeks that followed were frustrating because this team has struggled to get out of the gates in the fashion that Coach Beatty's wanting. You fall down 25-0 to Ohio, 19-0 at Memphis, and then 14-0 this past week. But I think in each of these contests, we've seen Kansas do a really good job of competing defensively, whether it be limiting the damage off turnovers. I know a big stat through the first month of the season was just 22 points allowed off 11 turnovers. So whether those turnovers were coming on special teams like we saw in the Ohio game, or some of those self-inflicted offensive wounds that we saw on the road at Memphis, the defense is really doing a good job of slamming the door and limiting the damage. And I really felt like for the second and third quarters, all phases of the game down in Lubbock showed signs of life and signs of competitiveness that you could see, you know, make this team a factor in most of the games they'll play in Big 12 conference play and be in it late in contest, which I think is what we need to strive for in a season that's still a transitional year. I've long compared this second season under David Beatty to what we saw in Mark Mangino's first season when he went 2-10, and then in year 2 under Mangino, had a 6-win team that went to the Tangerine Bowl, and obviously Bill Whittemore, a big reason why they were able to do that. But when I referenced that 2002 season under Mark Mangino, yeah, they only won a couple of games, but you saw them compete in the second half of these contests. In many cases, they entered the fourth quarter only down by 10 or 14 points against teams that previously you would have put not just in a whole different category, but a whole different realm, ballpark, whatever, than these, you know, Kansas players previously. And it was that competitive edge. It was the way they were fighting for the full 60 minutes, even when they were overmatched, both quality and quantity wise in terms of talent. And I think we're seeing some of that. I think for any Texas Tech fan that looked at the clock and the scoreboard with under 6 minutes to go in the third quarter, and here's Kansas within 9, they were probably thinking, oh brother, what's going on here?
Right.
And obviously KU wasn't able to maintain that because you saw some injuries pile up, and then the score got out of hand late when they were in many cases down to second and third stringers because of the attrition of the roster there. But my point is, we've seen Clint Bowen's defense do some really good things. Obviously, special teams is something that's pointing in the right direction after last week with Joe DeForest, the new coordinator there. They sparked a safety on a bobbled snap by the Tech punter. They had the muffed punt by Tech that they pounced on with Michael Zunica coming up with that fumble recovery that led to a scoring drive. And we're seeing, you know, some strides there from what we saw early in the year. Offensively, as you guys well know, we got to get, you know, some consistency at the quarterback position. And the news from Monday night that Ryan Willis is going to take over that spot has a lot of folks fired up. And,
yeah,
you know, I would certainly throw some praise Montel Cozart's way, because while things haven't gone the way he'd want them to, boy, he's about as fine of a student ambassador, student athlete, you know, team leader as I've seen. And he handled that news in stride this week. He's going to be ready should anything happen, you know, heaven forbid, injury wise. And we saw that even within the Tech game when Willis got shaken up for a few plays and Cozart came in and engineered a scoring drive. So it takes more than one quarterback. We know that, but I do like the fact that they're going to commit to one. And the hope is give Willis all four quarters coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, we're hoping so. That's the one thing that we talked about a little bit earlier before you came on was, you know, we hope it's an actual commitment. We're ready to see, even if there's some, you know, things that don't go right, it'd be nice to see, you know, commitment to one QB for a full game, let them play through some mistakes and hopefully build on it. I know that you know, throughout the year last year when he got that opportunity, he looked pretty good, you know, and started to show some signs of life. We've seen a little bit of that here in the first part of the season. I'd love to see him build on it and hopefully grow and be able to, as you mentioned, since we are in a transition year, I think everyone would agree on that, transition into somebody who's really ready to roll next year as a Big 12 talent at quarterback, because that's clearly what we need. Every time we've had a good season, it's because we've had a quarterback that was actually among, you know, toward the at least top half of the Big 12, and we have certainly not had that in a while. So I hope that certainly is the case. Brian, do you you want to talk about basketball? Have you done any research? Have you did you realize that after this we play basketball at KU?
Man, I can't wait. Obviously, that's one of the great opportunities of my lifetime to get to cover this program, and now to get to call the games is going to be one of the greatest thrills. But having late night last Saturday, getting to be alongside Greg Gurley for 4 hours, he's a trip. He always keeps it interesting. And then, of course, to see some of the talent on the floor, man. My appetite is ready for some hoops, and the hunger is pretty strong. So let's talk about it.
Okay, so it is a presidential election season. I think KU just released this big Bill Self for President video.
Oh boy.
So in the spirit of this election season, I want to preview kind of this basketball team by asking you some questions. I want you to put together a KU basketball presidential cabinet from the players on this team. So I'm going to go through, I'm going to give you a position in the cabinet, and I want you to tell me who fits this position. Does that make sense, Brian?
My goodness.
It'll be easy. Well,
Andrew,
you can do it.
You always have the very insightful, creative, and off-the-wall questions. I like where you're going with this. I'll do my best. So we have 15 departments.
Oh, no. I didn't do that many. We're not that on the ball. just a couple. So the first one, who's the president of this team? Okay. And what I'm looking for is, you know, if Independence Day happens, if the aliens come down, and we need someone to stand on a box and rally the troops, who's the president?
Well, the good news is I think your president and your vice president work very closely side by side in the backcourt together. And I only pick, you know, the rank and distinction based on seniority. But when you've got a situation where you have Frank Mason at one guard spot and Devontae Graham at the other, between the two of them, 5 Big 12 championships, guys that have accomplished enough as individuals that to still be in college at this point in their careers, coming back for a fourth and third season respectively is pretty rare. And then to put them in the same backcourt together is even more special and rare. It's becoming a growing trend in college hoops to have a couple of the guys with combo guard skills working side by side, but usually don't have guys this successful, this experienced, still around at the college game. And I think if we're going to make this presidential analogy complete, you hope that, you know, in that doomsday scenario you presented, if something happened to the president, then the VP is able to step in and keep a steady hand at the wheel. And I think these guys are so interchangeable, and the leadership you get from both is interchangeable. So there's your president and your VP. You know, I think the best backcourt in America, certainly one of them, and a reason why this team could be playing in Arizona in April, clearly is one of the preseason favorites to do so.
Oh, I totally agree. This is Frank's team. Like, I think there's all these NBA players on this team and guys that'll probably play for a long time, make a lot of money. But this is 5'10" Frank Mason's team. And I don't think anyone has any doubt about that.
No, I completely agree. And like I said, he's got the skins on the wall to have earned that. You know, many presidential candidates, they can show you successful chapters of their lives, whether it be military service or strong business success, political success, obviously prior to that stage and reaching to that height. And he's got all of that in spades. So he's clearly the guy, and he's the straw that stirs the drink. But Devontae Graham right there with him, you know, coming off a breakout junior camp or sophomore campaign heading into his junior year, I think gives you a lot of reason to think that that 1-2 punch is as good as any guard combo you'll see.
Okay, so we have a president and a vice president. Let's move on to the Secretary of State. This is the chief diplomat for the team. This is someone who's got to get along with not only his own team, but other teams as well. Who would negotiate these peace treaties for us?
Wow, that's a tough one now. See, you have to throw me a bone a little bit, because having worked at Texas Tech the last 4 years while I've covered these guys and watching them on the floor, I'm just now about to, for the first time, get a chance to hang around them and learn the personalities a little bit more. I think Landon Lucas is a pretty agreeable, likable, charismatic guy that could win over the room, I suppose. But from a personality standpoint in negotiating and bartering treaties, well, that's tough to say. Maybe we go Svi there because in dealing with the foreign countries.
International flavor.
He's got the international flavor. He speaks multiple languages. I mean, and we just saw him overseas in two different countries this past summer when he went back home. And so maybe Svi's the answer if we can elect someone to office that was not born here. I don't know how that works. So you
here
tell
the,
me. This
yeah,
is your game.
We're going to allow
on
it.
On this podcast, we can do whatever we want. So let's just do these last three ones quick. Secretary of Defense, and I think the idea is, who's going to be the first guy to step in and get into a fight if we need it? Who's our enforcer? Who's our protector?
Who's our enforcer? I like that. That's a great question. You know, I haven't seen the mean streak from Udoka yet. Hopefully we'll get a chance to see if there is one there. But you typically don't think of a freshman as being the guy to do that necessarily. And Landon Lucas being as broad-shouldered and seasoned and grizzly. I mean, we're talking about fifth-year senior, 6'10", 240. You know, he's your anchor in the post. That's the guy, if I got into a fight in a dark alley, just based on sheer size and the veteran presence, I want to turn to. I don't know that he has a mean streak of some other Bill Self players in the past, but he's got some of that to him. So
he's got old man strength, too. He's got old man strength. You got to watch out for that.
No doubt.
All right, second to last one, Secretary of Treasury. Just simply, who's going to make the most money in the NBA?
Well, that's Josh Jackson. That's a pretty easy one, right?
I think that's the easiest one on here. All right, the last one we've got for you. This is a stretch. Most of these are stretches, but this one's a stretch. Secretary of the Interior. Who's our best post player? Who's going to get the most rebounds?
Wow, okay. Well, I mean, up front to start the year, we just mentioned his name a second ago in our fifth-year veteran with the old man strength. But I think that Udoka Azubuike is a guy that clearly could turn into that. I think since showing up on campus, this is a guy that shed almost 30 pounds and is becoming the type of athlete that'll be able to play a ton of minutes for you. And the thing is, he just turned 17 a couple of weeks ago. I asked Bill Self, you know, right before late night, I said, if he's just now 17 and he's 7 feet, 280, he was north of 3 bills coming in.
Yeah.
What's his growth plate potential? Like how tall could he grow if he's just now turning 17? And coach said he really didn't know at this point, but it likens me to think that by the time, he's 1 or 2 years deep in the league or 1 or 2 years deep on a Kansas career, depending on if he stays or not, and this is a guy who's not done growing. And so Landon Lucas is the answer to start the season, obviously, but I think this is a guy that will get increasingly better and better as the season goes on. But I also think a guy that will stuff the stat sheet plenty is Josh Jackson. Maybe not as your leading rebounder necessarily, but I think when you have that type of athleticism, that type of wingspan, and then 6'8" in terms of height, he's going to be mixing it up for a lot of boys as well. But Carlton Bragg, we didn't even mention his name. I don't know what category we want to put on Bragg, but he stole the show at late night, 8 of 11, hit a couple of threes. Coach Self, I know, doesn't want him to fall in love with the 22-foot jumper, but clearly, you know, he's added 30 pounds of muscle since his first day on campus, and he's showing off more range. So I'm quickly like Googling other cabinet positions here because we can't do the segment here without getting Carlton Bragg's name on something.
We'll put
so
him
Andrew, you'll have to help me out.
Chief of staff. Well, let's make him chief of staff. Very important position.
That's an extremely important position. I like that. Most definitely.
I like it. So you mentioned late night, Brian. Both of us had prior engagements, could not be there. Other than Tech Nine,
what's up with your scheduling, man? That should be like priority number one.
I know, you it's know, brutal. It's
opening day of KU football in the fall. You guys got to get on that, man. I thought this was one of our better late nights.
And I heard that. And other than a dynamic performance by Tech Nine, what was the best portion, the best part of the night? And you can also say, let's do the non-game version and then the game version. What was your favorite thing? Was it a skit? Was it a video? What was your favorite part?
Well, I think it's tough to top, you know, lightning striking twice in the fog with Brendan Burchard getting shot. I mean, to do that in back-to-back years, and it's making the national news, not just, you know, ESPN Sports Center, but like national news.
Yeah.
That Kansas has had this happen 2 years in a row. So that's pretty tough to beat, obviously. But what you said about Tech Nine, I think is spot on. I think that gave folks something to be fired up about, gave them reason to come early and make sure that all those seats were filled up, which I know, you know, Coach Self, it's such a huge recruiting tool. He wanted to make sure they had that 16,300 throughout the night and not just the crowd that gradually worked its way up to that. And then it sustained the energy and even built upon it, you know, to have those four songs that he performed. And, you know, if he could give us a remix of KC Moe as KCK, I think he would have been even more popular. Not that we don't love our Jayhawk Talk podcast versus KC Moe that are rocking the blue. We love
that's right.
too.
That's
but,
right.
You know, every great musician has a remix, right? So let's hear a KCK. You just put that on the to-do list, right? But no, I thought he was incredible, and I thought that the Bill Self, the president thing, you know, Mike Lickert and the Rock Chalk video crew, so talented. They always do a great job. And Jenna Ali, who works with her staff and marketing to put this thing together, you love the creativity that we have employed by the KU Athletics Department. And that was yet again, you know, a wonderful example of that. But when you have a head coach that is willing to, in some years, be self-deprecating, and other years just be kind of goofy or have a sense of humor about it. But I think that endears Coach Self to these 16, 17-year-old kids that are coming as recruits and seeing, hey, this guy can have some fun.
Sure.
This guy can ham it up a little bit. And, you know, I think there are other coaches that do it well. You know, I've seen Tom Izzo dressed up as Gene Simmons and been impressed by that. Tongue wasn't quite the same, but close. but I think Coach Self's the best at it, and we're blessed to have him. And that's one of a million and one reasons why he's as good as he is when it comes to recruiting.
What about the game? Any specific moments? You mentioned Carlton Bragg going off. What about some of the newcomers, some folks those that maybe didn't make it to the game? Give us your thoughts on some of the new guys.
Well, we didn't get to see Udoka. And he's nursing an injury, and it's no big deal. He should be fine for the first official practice this week. But I really had more of my focus beyond Josh Jackson, of course. Everybody's looking at Jackson and his 9 points and five boards. But I was looking to see who's improved from a year ago. And we mentioned Carlton Bragg already with the muscle he's added, the range he was flashing, all of that. But I thought with Gerald Vick, showed some really good signs too. He started a little bit cold and then finished with a flurry with 12 points and was much more efficient down the stretch. And obviously Coach Self would point out that there isn't normal Bill Self caliber defense necessarily being played and all that. But I was impressed certainly with Vic, and that's a guy that I think carves out a bigger role within this rotation going forward. But to me, Malik Newman's a guy that Kansas fans are going to have to, you know, just put on the back burner and be excited about it. This is the only glimpse you're going to get of him all year. But we saw him go for 12-2 with a really efficient line and getting there. I had a chance to call one of his games last season when he played with Mississippi State in the Puerto Rico tip-off. And, you know, this is a guy that was ranked number 2 by one of those rating services and 10 and 11 by others for a reason. I mean, he was a very gifted player. And whether you liked the way Ben Howland used him or not, you saw flashes in his freshman campaign of why he had that type of hype. Now you get him with this coaching staff. You get him a full year practicing against these guys. And then what we said at the start of tonight's episode about how rare it is to have guys like Graham and Mason this deep in their careers, this accomplished, still at KU, a guy that was ranked as a top 10 recruit isn't typically still playing college ball in his third year removed from high school. But that's now the situation that he'll be in next year. And so to me, Malik Newman's a guy, I'm just chomping at the bit to get to call his games next season, because I think he's going to benefit so much from this year and be a bona fide, you know, stud walking out that tunnel for game one, day one of the 2017-2018 campaign. So that to me was definitely a guy that I had my sights set on. And while it will be our only glimpse this season, hopefully fans enjoyed what they saw.
Absolutely. Okay, last question on late night. You can be honest, Brian. Being from Topeka, I am also from Topeka. I listened to a little bit of Tech N9ne in my day at Topeka High School. I know you weren't a Topeka High guy, but you can be honest with us here. No one's listening. Did you know any Tech N9ne songs going into this thing?
See, that's what's so amazing. I did my history and homework on Tech N9ne, and he really burst out of the scene what would have been my freshman year at KU.
Yeah.
I remember him being popular and people lining up outside of Seventh Heaven back yep. in the day. Remember that place?
Yeah, yeah. Like
Fenton and Mass to either get his album or meet him or something. And so to me, I'll be honest, I didn't realize he was still going as strong as he is. and when I heard that they were bringing him in, I'm like, oh, wow, how about that? I mean, that's like Simpsons or Dave Matthews or whatever staying power here to still be
kicking it out 20 years
later like that. But yeah, he was terrific. And so while I didn't necessarily know every song in the set list or anything, I certainly was very aware of him. And as you know, as a Topeka guy growing up in the 1990s, the best part about being from Top City was you didn't have to pick an East or West Coast rap affiliation.
That's right.
You could sample a little Biggie Smalls while also appreciating Tupac and Dre, because
right.
they were right smack dab in the center.
Sure.
So that's a little peek into my high school days, circa mid-90s at Topeka West with our Charger-Trojan rivalry.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. Absolutely. Well, Brian.
And by the way, just in case you're wondering, the West side is still the best side.
Whatever.
Bob Davis would agree with me on that.
Get out of here. I'm pretty sure Topeka High is a little better these days, although maybe not as good as Topeka Hayden, where class of 2000, what is it, 19? We got Zach Harvey, a recruit who was actually in the building at the at late night. So Zach Harvey of Topeka Hayden, we actually have top, whatever he is, 25, 30 recruit in 2019 from Topeka. How about that?
That's exciting. I actually can't talk about specific.
I know.
Rules now.
It was more of a how about that generally.
For the sake of our capital city, how about that?
How about that? All right. Andrew, did you have anything you wanted to float to Brian before we let him get out of here on this Tuesday night? Let him go watch the vice presidential debate.
Well, we just wanted to throw our support behind you. We're listening. If we're at the game. So Kevin Wire at the first game, the Rhode Island game, and we went out into the back just to listen to the first little bit of your first game. So we thought it went really well. I listened to the Memphis game on the radio. We think it's going great. Glad to have you back.
Well, thank you so much. And if there's anything we could be doing different or better or more of, I invite you guys again to reach out. My email is real simple, if you can spell my last name, which isn't. But BHANNI@KU.edu. Would love to hear from the fans on what we could be giving you more of. Like I said, we're trying to roll out some new features that maybe we haven't seen in the past that we've noticed other Big 12 schools doing. And so if you have suggestions or ideas for other content, or maybe you like these Throwback Thursday podcasts and a specific guy you want to see spotlighted, please bring it. But two of my favorite guys are Kevin and Andrew. So you guys call anytime. Hopefully we can hook up and record one of these live in KC later in the year, since we're going to be in Kansas City twice. Three times, I guess, over the course of the next few months. So let's definitely do it. And thanks again for having me on, man. It's always a blast talking to you guys.
Absolutely. Thank you to Brian Haney. You can find him on Twitter at B. Haney, HANNI. You heard his email address. Reach out to the guy. Very approachable. One of the best in the business and one of the nicest guys in the business. We appreciate you coming on, Brian. We're taking a little bit of credit for you being here because, you know, you catapulted your career from the Jayhawk Talk podcast. We like to think. No, we're just messing with you.
You know what? There's actually some truth to that. There was one day before I left for Texas Tech in which Kevin Meckley texts me and says, how do you only have like 1,200 Twitter followers? Give me half an hour and I'll get you above 2,000. Darn if he didn't. So, power of the Jayhawk Talk Twitter account and podcast and all that, believe me, I'm certainly one who has seen that firsthand. Thank you guys so much. Forever grateful for your support throughout that process.
Absolutely. Hey, we're thanks, happy Brian. To do it. Hey, we'll see you next time, Brian. Thanks again. We'll have you on the podcast soon.
Devin, Andrew, thanks so much, guys. Rock chalk.
Rock chalk. All right, we are back. Thanks again to Brian for coming on. Like we said, stand-up dude, obviously killing it as the voice of the Jayhawks. One thing he did mention that he couldn't talk about was recruits. And one thing that we can talk about on this here podcast is recruits. And there were a bunch of them in the building for late night. Some of the top of the class from 2017 and 2018 and even 2019 were there. We had, for instance, Colin Sexton was in the house. Crazy athlete. He's kind of down to Alabama, Okie State, and us. He is down there, I think, from Atlanta. So we'll see if we can get him out of the South. And then also headlining was forward Billy Preston. And this is a guy that recently reopened his recruitment, 6'9", can play the three or the four. And I think KU might have a decent shot here. So watch out for Billy Preston. I really like that name, too. Once DeAndre Ayton committed to Arizona, I think Billy Preston might be one of the top priorities for the Bill Self staff. Several other folks were there, Andrew, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention two of them with pretty good bloodlines. One of them, of course, forward Bol Bol, the number 14 player in 2018 here out of Kansas City. And obviously Manute Bol's son, 7'2" at age 16, 7'2", Andrew. And then the other one, which I didn't realize that was who his father was until recently, Andrew, that is Jeremiah Robinson Earl, son of Lester Earl. Also,
all right.
How about that?
All right.
We need to get both of those guys real bad.
Yeah, we do. Well, Manute Bol did not go to KU or have any KU affiliation, but we need to keep all these guys in the family, these guys to trek over from Bishop Miege over to KU. We need to go to a Miege game this year.
Let's
we got to find
it.
like a Tuesday night where they're playing Blue Valley Northwest and go get some stale popcorn to support the band and go see Bishop Miege play.
I'm in. I'm definitely in. So, yeah, we should do that and, like, make it a thing, like, live tweet it or something. I don't know. Let's definitely do that. So pull out the schedule, Andrew. Find us a game, and let's commit to it. I'm in. There were a bunch of other guys there, too, including, Andrew, a bunch of folks from the 2019 class, one of which actually committed to Kansas on the spot at the time. 15 years old, I think he is. Marquise Jacobs, very short fella from Chicago, but I did go to his little Twitter account thing there, Andrew. One of the top tweets currently from September 27th, pinned to the top, is him doing a between the legs dunk. And at 15, that's impressive.
Even at 5'10", even a little guy.
I don't know if he's actually 5'10". I just know he's short. I don't know how short he is.
I have it here. He's 5'10", 155 pounds, but he's only 15. He could get bigger, and Sharon was only 5'10".
Baby Sharon.
So we'll see what happens. So lots of exciting recruiting news coming out of late night. It seems to be the premier recruiting event in the country, at least along with a handful of others. But looking good. We always seem to snag a couple guys out of late night. Kelly Oubre, I know, committed to the late night. So did Wayne Selden. Seems to always get a couple guys early, and then obviously sets the tone for recruitment throughout the year.
Absolutely. There were some that were not at late night that we have coming up. I know that Trey Young, who is one of the top point guards in the country of 2017, in the top 10 or 15 as a player, I think he's got a visit on October 21st, so he'll be there by himself, have the full attention of the staff. That's the other thing. It's nice to, you know, it's nice to go to late night, but it's also nice to have those visits where you got the full, you know, you're the only one there. They get their full attention. You know, it's kind of, you have to decide which one is more important, but looking forward to that. We need some guards, Andrew, for next year. We're losing a lot of guards. And I think Devontae Graham, that dude is probably going pro after this year, because I'm telling you, he is going to be bonkers this year. I don't think we will have Devontae Graham next year. I hope Svi's gone too, because that means Svi had a great year too. So we'll see.
All right, let's close this thing out. We've got one last thing to talk about. And it may be the most important thing of the podcast that we talk about. Okay. And that is, of course, Tech Nine. Tech Nine performed at late night, as we've mentioned probably throughout this entire podcast. But we want to get into it a little deeper now. So if you're not a Tech Nine fan, go ahead and just push pause, remove download, remove
episode.
That's
you, Dad, Mom, you can turn the podcast off now.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about Tech Nine just a free form. Like, what does Tech Nine mean to you, Kevin? When did you learn about Tech Nine?
I was a senior in high school in 2001 when I started listening to Tech Nine. Angelic, I think, was the album that turned me on to Tech Nine. And then I went to KU as an undergrad. I actually went potluck, landed in Lewis Hall, and my three roommates were all enormous Tech Nine fans. And that was right when Absolute Power dropped in 2002. And that was the album of the year. Absolutely.
Yeah, it won all of the awards. My favorite part about Tech Nine is that he's kind of revolutionized or created an entire different brand of song, where he basically raps cocktail recipes, where the entire song is just
before
a recipe
it was cool before
to make a cocktail. Yeah,
before
so we've
it was
got
like a hipster thing. Like that's like the millennial thing to do now. Like, get real into craft cocktails. Tech's been doing it for years.
Right, so we've got Caribou Lou, which was, you know, I mean, how do you make a Caribou Lou, Kevin?
151 rum, Malibu rum, pineapple juice.
Right.
Pretty easy. Like,
Tech Nine? And I need a Caribou Lou. That's 151, Malibu rum, and pineapple juice. You know what I'm sizzling? you don't know what that is? You can't get the party started right without that. Let's do it.
You
want me to
jam? You know how to make it because Tech Nine. Tech Nine taught you how to make it. KCT, a little bit of Hennessy, you make it in a little bit or real big wine glass, mm-hmm. little Sprite.
I like to drink it in a real big wine glass. Sure. At my place full of women letting time pass. Sure. With Hennessy, Sprite, and
KCT. I mean, it's these are artisan cocktails that he's telling you how to make through music.
It's true. It's exactly true. My favorite part is that he also has this kind of style marketing ploy. I don't know what you'd call it, but he puts out a new album like every year. Like every single year he's got a new album.
The billboard on 35, like going south from downtown, is just the Tech Nine billboard. Like, you take down the old album, you put up the new album. Album out soon. Like, it's I think it may belong to him. Either he has a permanent lease on it or he bought the billboard.
Yeah, I like to think that's what happened.
And then the Strange Music guys have the seats behind home plate, or at least they did for the World Series, and I've seen them there other times as well.
The Royals,
You know, that's a... Boulevard became the hometown beer. Tech Nine became the hometown rapper. Although, you know, he's got a pretty regional.
He does.
Grasp, because I was with my cousin in Wyoming, and we were just out at a bar. We're talking with a couple of his friends, and they brought up Tech Nine. This is in Wyoming, and I'm like, you guys know Tech Nine? And they're like, of course we know Tech Nine. I'm like, how do you guys know Tech Nine? They're like, oh, he plays in Grand Rapids, South Dakota all the time.
What?
Are you kidding me? Like, I didn't even know this. And so we bonded with these University of Wyoming students over Tech Nine.
You know, he does have several songs where he mentions the Midwest. So I think that's his thing. Like, he's trying to, you know, like Brian said, there's the East Coast, there's the West Coast, and then there's the Midwest, and Tech Nine has songs like Welcome to the Midwest and Midwest Choppers. Remember that song? So yeah, I think he's trying to bring his own little flavor from the Midwest. You know, the folks out of St. Louis, they kind of claimed that territory, Nelly's crew, and that, you know, it is what it is. They had their thing for a little while. I think Tech Nine's come in and just taken over the whole region.
Okay, before we get out of here, if you're listening to this and you don't know who Tech Nine is, like, thanks for sticking along. You must be interested, and you must be want to know more. So, Kevin, give that person who's listening who doesn't know anything about Tech Nine one song that they need to listen to.
One song?
Yeah, just one.
Well, we do have a drop actually that I can play. This is a drop that we've had on here forever. Longtime listeners, the player of the game drop.
Here's the three. I'm telling you, he's in a zone right now.
I think you can put a blindfold on him.
I've got him on their feet here, Lawrence.
That is a player. I'm a player.
That's, of course, I'm a player from Absolute Power, one of the top Tech Nine albums out there. So there's I'm a player. Do you have a favorite Tech Nine song, Andrew?
I think I like Bianca's and Beatrice's, and that's only because I've been singing it for the past hour after we started talking about Tech Nine a little while ago. I don't know if that's the best one, but that's just the one I've been singing a lot.
A little peek behind the curtain. Literally every time the podcast has been paused, Andrew's going, Bianca's and Beatrice's. I don't think he knows any of the rest of the words, but he knows that part, and he just continues to say it over and over again. So
that's all I need to know. That song's like 15 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it actually is, I think, 15 years old. I think you're exactly right. Maybe 14 years old. Either way, my favorite song, actually, I really like... Now It's On from Angelic, and then Planet Rock 2K. And that is where he actually says the words, Lawrence, Kansas, make the planet rock. So Brian was saying that he only talks about Casey Moe. He did say Lawrence, Kansas, make the planet rock, and also Topeka, make the planet rock, for the record. So there you go. And Planet Rock 2K, the down south mix. So I'll play out some Tech Nine here when I edit this thing. We'll put a little Tech Nine under some of this discussion, and hopefully you have enjoyed our Tech Nine podcast 2016
spin off Tech Nine.
We've got enough podcasts, Andrew. We don't need another podcast, the Tech Nine podcast. I'm not sure.
But I could talk about Tech Nine for hours.
I know, it has staying power, I think. Well, Andrew, I'm really excited we're back. Late Night is here. We talked about KU basketball on a podcast. It felt so good to get some of that out, you know? This football thing, it is what it is. We're going to continue going. We're going to continue to support. Hopefully, if we get a win, if we see something that's really positive, we're going to continue to do a little football talk on this podcast. But, Andrew, we'll probably be talking mostly about basketball here on out, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, unless something happens. Like, we're maybe touch base with football, but let's...
I'm sorry.
Let's focus on basketball.
And I love football, Andrew. We've talked about it. I love football so much, but it's so hard to watch bad football. But we're going to keep doing it. We'll talk about it a little bit. But, Andrew, it is time to talk about KU basketball. It's October. We are not that far away from the season. I am so hyped. We're going to keep it 100 here on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Do you have anything else before we get out of here?
Well, this is the 100th episode, Kevin. 100 emoji, 100 emoji, 100 emoji.
Indeed. All right. Hey, if you want to find us on the iTunes, do us a huge favor. Go out there, leave a rating and a comment if you haven't done it before. Give us that 5-star review, leave a little rating, and that will help us to get the podcast out to new folks. You can find me at Jayhawk Talk on Twitter. You can find Andrew at Sherlock Hoops on Twitter. Until next time, keep it 100 on the Jayhawk Talk podcast.
I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real.
Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court, so we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together, but win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man, but one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans.